Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Talking Some Sense. Today, we've got some really, really big guests. Alongside Chris and I, we've got Zach Martin and Bailey Curtis of the Surgecast, part of the Hockey Podcast Network.
How's it going, guys? I'm just flattered to be called a big guest. Wow. We appreciate you guys.
I know. You give us a little too much credit here.
Yeah, guys. I was going to say.
We had Sean Simpson on, but you two absolutely are a step above.
Stop it. No. Hey, I'll Venmo you your money later.
It's going to be
$20 good under the table. We're good.
Wait, so it should be American or Canadian dollars is the real question.
It's American. I can't deal with that conversion rate.
Don't do it to me, man.
No, we appreciate you guys having us on. As we were saying earlier, this has been a long time coming. So we've been very excited for this.
Absolutely. Yeah. You folks had me on your show, and it was a really, really great time. So it's only fair and fitting that as we come slowly towards the next Canes-Sens game, this seems like perfect time to have you folks on. So really happy that you could join us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. Definitely. Thank you.
As of right now, we're recording this episode a few days beforehand, before the next game. I believe the next game against the Senators and the Canes are, the 12th?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have this release probably the Monday, so the day before. So it'll be right perfect for you guys listening. You know, it's gonna be relevant still.
Relevancy is key. Yeah. We go.
Anyways, but I want to give you guys just a bit of an opportunity to because obviously this podcast is more tailored towards Sens fans. I just want to give you guys an opportunity to kind of introduce yourselves and explain why the Carolina Hurricanes.
Zach, I'll let you go first.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, for me, I'm originally from Ohio, but, you know, the Jackets didn't become a team until the 2000s, and by then we moved down to North Carolina right as the Hurricanes moved from Hartford. So, like, my first hockey game ever in person that I can remember is a preseason game at the Greensboro Coliseum, and this was still when it's the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. So I mean, yeah, so it's like still late 90s. So I mean, and it's just, it was the team me and my dad grew up on. You know, he went to the home opener at the now PNC, which was the Raleigh Entertainment Complex. So, and then saw the Hurricanes win the cup in person in 06 and all-star games and all that stuff. So just grew up on the Hurricanes. I mean, I do have some other teams that I kind of like and follow and stuff too, but it's basically been the Hurricanes since like day one, just because of, hey, how convenient. We got a hockey team and we live like 30 minutes from, you know, now PNC, which at the time they were still in Greensboro. So, yeah, there you go. Conveniently worked out.
There you go. Love that. And Bailey?
We're giving whole life stories here. All right. So,
when I was 6 years old.
Yeah. So, funny enough.
Back in my day. Yeah.
No. So, I grew up, I didn't know anything about hockey until I was about 10 years old. I grew up, started playing soccer when I was about 4 years old. And then around U10 is when they start introducing goaltenders to the game. And I had gone up to my coach at some point towards the end of the season. I was like, hey, I think I might be interested in playing keeper, whatever. And he was like, okay, cool. Well, we're in a period, I don't know if we're due to switch out keepers this early in the season, but we get to that point, you'll definitely get the call in. I had told my dad about that conversation and I got really, really nervous. And I was like, my coach said this might actually happen. I don't know what I'm going to do, whatever. And he told me the crazy, wonderful story of Cam Ward and how he came in at the beginning of playoffs in 2006 and led the team to a Stanley Cup. And he was like, your coach puts you in there, you embody Cam Ward. You think of that situation, how he did not get as much playing time as he had during playoffs, and he played his butt off, stood on his head for the entirety of that playoff series, or entirety of those playoff series. And he killed it, and he brought his team to a championship. You go in goal, you embody that. Went in goal, made one save on one shot, and that was it. Became a hockey fan after that. My dad, both of my parents work at Red Hat, which is a company based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And at the time when it was RBC, they had a sweet box in the building. And as the Hurricanes weren't really all that good of a team, tickets were not in high demand. So my parents would get suite tickets and we'd go and watch the games and tailgate and do all this fun stuff. And it just became a really, really cool community of people. Like, it brought my neighbors and my families close together. One of my neighbors, who I still consider his son, like my little brother, we talk about hockey all the time, gave us something to bond over. It introduced me to these guys. And then 18 years old, I moved out here to Colorado and kind of saw a little bit of the broader aspect of hockey. So while it is still the Hurricanes being my main team, I'm kind of looking at more of the overall picture of what happens in the league and what happens in the different conferences. And I have a new hometown team that I love supporting, and it's a fun team to watch. And I get to still be around that hockey environment, which is really cool. So.
Well, apparently I have to rethink the answer that I would have provided in that. I would have just said I'm a Sens fan because I grew up in the area. Sort of, you know, much like kind of like Zach said. Yeah. But that was a really, really profound answer that I was not expecting. But that's
fantastic. Well, I mean, I did grow up in the area, if that makes it easier. I mean, it made it easier for my dad to kind of give me the Cam Ward story. Yeah. But
Yeah, but it wasn't as inspiring. My story wasn't inspiring as yours. So that's great.
I'm just a hockey fan, like you guys. So that's just
doesn't matter how it starts.
No,
it doesn't matter.
We're all looking at the same thing. So yeah,
absolutely. So you kind of alluded to it there, but I guess before we get into a little bit more, at least from my perspective, a little bit more specific with the Kings themselves, just to bring the audience up to speed on what to expect on Tuesday. I want to know, how did the three, so there's three of you. We only have two thirds of the podcast. Kat is also a part of the podcast. How did you three meet, and you know, what's the process been like to kind of grow the podcast and connect with people and evidently become incredibly famous?
I'll kind of talk about the Cat relationship when we get there, but Zach, you want to start it off?
It's crazy how it worked out. So actually, before this podcast, we were on another network called Belly Up, and So I was over there at the beginning of January 21 with a buddy of mine. We started at it was like the COVID season. So we kind of like where we had a podcast where it was mainly talking about two teams within that division. And then we decided to start doing more broader full NHL and stuff like that. Then it kind of fizzled out towards the end. And then like December, I'm like, well, I don't have a podcast anymore. Like, I don't know what to do. Then I'm like, well, I'm in Hurricanes territory. I grew up on the team. I still like talking hockey, so why not? So I kind of just started talking Belly Up. Kind of worked out. It's like, hey, let's do a podcast. And then February, you know, waiting for a logo. It took a little while to get there because there was a whole behind-the-scenes thing going on with that. And first episode comes in February. Even before the first episode, I had a local hockey retail store reach out. Like, hey, we want to be your sponsor. And it's like, I don't even have an episode out. And they're like, doesn't matter. We'll do it. We'll just be your sponsor. And I'm like, okay. First episode, all that stuff. So, you know, getting guests very early on, start building momentum. A lot of support, getting a lot of questions. Bailey was actually one of the first people to jump on and start asking questions almost every time we were doing
I was supporting the podcast before there even was an episode one. And I kind of used that as like an outlet, like, hey, I'm actually sitting here interacting with somebody who became a mutual on Twitter. Like, let me ask these questions and kind of create discussions, which was really cool.
Yeah. It just kind of worked out to where it was, you know, getting, you know, slowly building up the fan base and stuff like that, you know, again, because for me, it's like, it's interacting. Like the podcast can't do anything if you're not really going to interact with people. So
something I really liked about the podcast that he was really creating too, was the fact that it wasn't just, you're getting professionals who know about the team. Like, you're sitting there getting your fan base on the podcast and creating like the sense of community and the sense of family. And that really spoke to me, and I've heard it. And that's a lot of the reason why a lot of other people like it and listen as well.
Yeah. Which it felt nice hearing that from a lot of people, because, you know, I introduced some like ideas like, hey, so what do you guys want getting closer to the end of season one? Like, what do people want the most and stuff like that? And a lot of people are coming like, you know, either get a co-host or, you know, try to get more guests for more episodes. Cause it was like, there'd be like some weeks where I would have a bunch of guests and there'd be like two or three episodes where it's just me. And then some people were like suggesting co-hosts and stuff like that. And I think by that time, me and Bailey started talking a lot more and stuff like that, had her on a few more episodes. And it was just kind of like, even before season two was really going to happen, I just reached out to her. It's like, hey, do you just want to be a co-host? Because like, she was interactive. She was on a lot of shows. The chemistry was working really well. The numbers were getting a lot better when she was kind of mostly on. And luckily it just worked out with that. And then we just started season So we announced that she was going to be a host, but like two episodes before she was official, but it's just kind of funny how it worked out. And then, got Wayne Minner on, got Walt Ruff on, for like a couple times at that point. And then I think by like that December, we started having Kat come on a little bit more. And,
she came on at first. A lot of the reason for, or a big reason, was because she's a big content creator in the Canes community. Like, she was known for her TikToks and creating these like elaborate like little skits on these things, and it was really cool. And she had a really, really broad hockey knowledge, so bringing her on just seemed kind of smart. And at that point, she was like a celebrity to me. Like, she didn't follow a whole lot of people on Twitter. And so getting her on, I was a little bit starstruck at that moment too, but like, she came on and she was so cool and so funny. And like the chemistry that we all had it kind of clicked from the start, and it was really cool. I found out how much she and I had in common, which is why we kind of have the like twin status that we have today. And that's where that kind of started, the twin telepathy. Cause we think very similarly in terms of the game, which was really, really cool to me. Cause like I had known Zach, and like I'd maybe like made friends with a few other people on Twitter, but there's no one that I quite clicked with like I did with Kat. And so when it came time to like kind of bring her on more and more and more, that's when Zach actually surprised me with this, and bringing her on. And we had finished recording an episode, and she was an honorary co-host at that point. And Zach was just kind of like, well, hey, Bailey doesn't know about this, but you're an honorary co-host. You want to be an actual co-host? And that's just kind of how it happened.
Yeah. And how many seasons, I guess we'll call them seasons, have you three been working together?
Working together, it's been about maybe one, if that.
Yeah, we'll officially hit one season together January 1st, because she came in. So her first episode as a host was January 1st of this year. So we haven't done a full season together as a whole crew. So I think by the end of this season, whenever the hurricane season's over, is our first full season together. Wow. But me and Bailey have been at least together as a team for over a season now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's such great chemistry between the three of you. So it's wild just to kind of like, you listen to the episodes and it's like the three of you have been like friends for decades.
That's something I really treasure about this podcast too. So like I was saying, it's a podcast that I really treasured as a fan for creating like a sense of community with the fans around it. And that's kind of what we want to create. But there's a few podcasts where you'll like sit and like laugh and talk about stuff. But I feel like we're very unique in the chemistry that we do have together, and the fact that through this thing, we became best friends. And it's something like when we're all together, like it's like we've known each other our entire lives. And
the stadium series was the first time we all were together in person, all three of us. Yeah.
So that was really, really cool to just kind of sit and get to know them and like talk with them in person, recreate that chemistry that we have through recording, and being able to kind of like meet my best friends in person. Like I don't know that. And that's what we try to create on the podcast, is that sense of, okay, you guys may not be here on the recording with us, but you're sitting here seeing our chemistry, and we want you to be involved in that too.
Love that. Yeah. And Jake, I'll throw it back to you. I don't mean to keep, asking questions and stuff, but it's interesting when you the hockey community is rather interesting for that exact reason, right? Where if you do it right, you can connect with people and you can create these really great relationships. Jake and I and Alex, who's the other co-host on the show, I had never met them in person, so it's very similar to what you the three of you have, where you weren't like, it wasn't that we started this we were in high school together. We've known each other for, yeah, you know, 20 yeah years. We literally started talking to each other on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then I posted a message saying like, hey, I'm thinking about doing my own podcast. And Jake was like, dude, why don't you just join ours?
Okay.
So like, that's awesome. Similar, where it's like,
funny
it's,
how that works.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, this is wild. This, I know sort of that community vibe, like, especially now that the Sens are much more relevant and there's a lot of changes that have happened, mm-hmm, and they're really positive changes. The Sens community is so engaged with one another, for the most part, very positively.
And, well, wish we could say the same.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to talk about hockey Twitter, Carolina Hurricanes Twitter, anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's you know, it's fun to be able to engage with the fans as a fan myself.
Yeah.
And then be able to develop these relationships where you're starting to message each other. You know, I'm going to, not to spoil the surprise, but I'm actually going to be going to the Carolina game on Tuesday.
Nice. Okay.
Let's go.
A buddy of mine that I met on Twitter was like, dude, do you want to, I'm going, do you want to come with me? Awesome. Nick, shout out to Nick. So nice. He's going to be bringing me as his plus one. So I'm super stoked about that. And
we'll be there in spirit. That's going to be, I'm excited to watch that game.
Yes, same. But that's the thing about this community, right? It's like we all come together, we all get to hang out, we all become really great friends. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're lucky enough to be able to work alongside really cool people. You know, you have the three of you. You know, I have Jake, I have Alex, who have become really incredible friends. It's just such a wild ride.
And that's a really cool thing about the hockey community too, is yeah, I met Zach and Kat through Hurricanes Twitter, but I've met so many cool people across a bunch of different fan bases too. And I feel like even if we weren't with THPN, like you guys are awesome. And I love listening to your podcast and I love listening to the chemistry that you guys have too. And it's really cool how those communities intertwine and create like bigger, broader friendships.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. Jake.
Yeah. That's sorry, Zach. Good. No, you're good. No, yeah, no, I agree. I completely agree with Bailey. Yeah, it's awesome just being able to interact with other people. I mean, me, Chris, we mainly talk a good bit too, and it's just like, yeah, about whatever, really. And I mean, I'll say this, like the Senators are my Canadian team, so even that's a kind of a cool thing too, having that nice little like having a nice little like, hey, you know, it's fun to talk with another fan base and kind of like be kind of connected in a sense. Like, yeah, it's not like the main one, but it's like, okay, I can follow along and know what's going on. So yeah, and you're like, I agree with you, like your guys' podcast is amazing. I don't miss an episode, so yeah, it's always a good time.
Appreciate that. That means a lot. Do you want to
yeah, well, as much as we'd love to chat more about us, it's
gonna say fun. Yeah, let's get into this thing.
Yeah,
we gotta move on.
This has been great.
Yeah, we gotta move on a bit into the game itself in hand.
Absolutely.
This is gonna be the second matchup of the season. Unfortunately, Senators lost the first matchup. I think it was a 5-3 score. And I've got to say this, Jacob Slavin might be the most underrated player in the entire NHL.
We've been saying.
I mean,
we've been preaching this. So Kat, if only she were here, Jacob Slavin is her favorite player. She preaches about that man. It's your favorite current Kane, is it? Is he not, yeah, Zach? So yeah, we talk a lot about defense, and not just defense as a whole, which is something that the Canes are very widely known for in the league, is the high-end defenses that we've at least provided in past years. This year's, but it's been a little shaky. But even with that said, Jacob Slavin, one of the most elite players to ever play the game, his defensive awareness blows my mind, and hearing people outside of the Hurricanes fan base kind of notice that, especially with all the other defensive talent in the league, warms our heart.
I mean, hey, the same thing we said for Jake Sanderson. He is very underrated, and people are like, that contract is too much, he hasn't played enough games.
Time I out. Hope we're not just Hold saying up. This because I share a name with both of those guys.
No. I mean, I literally have. So we're in a hockey league with a lot of Canes friends of ours. And my team name is literally the Sanders Zone. So, I mean, it kind of just works out. So and it's even got the Canadian leaf as my team's logo. So yeah, it's
he's very proud of it, if you can tell.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, hey, you know, he was a steal in the draft. He's working out pretty well for me, so I'm not upset about it. So I mean, also got Frank Vetrano, but that's a different story. But yeah, no, it's like when you get Jake Sanderson on your team as a steal pick, I'm not going to be upset about it.
Yeah.
I will say, I'm willing to bet so many other Sens fans were very upset with the Jake Sanderson pick at first. I was upset with it. I was upset with the Brady Tkachuk pick at first. Both those picks, I've been so glad to be proven wrong. They're the best players on the team, in my opinion.
A lot of people thought Sebastian Aho was a stretch at the second round for the Hurricanes when we first drafted him. And it's like, how did that work?
Yeah.
I think it worked out pretty well for us, if you didn't ask me. But yeah, no.
Yeah.
He's riding on, 8.5 more contract years with the team? So
yeah, something like that. You know, getting paid pretty decently, too. It's not an overpay, and it actually gives the team more wiggle room, even with the cap going up for the next couple of years. But honestly, the Sanderson, I listened to SDPN a lot, and they were kind of clowning on the contract, and I'm like, yeah, how's that working out for you guys? So I mean, Jake Sanderson, he's so good. Like every time very he scores, every time he scores, I tweet Chris. I'm like, hey Chris, are we going there? Are we going there?
It's Sanders zone.
Yeah, we're going to the Sanders zone.
I mean, looking at stats here too. So I've got the game preview for the upcoming game pulled up on my screen, and I'm looking at some stats. It's currently tied with Chychrun for most points from a defenseman for your team. Pretty impressive.
While missing time too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is wild because when you think about it, Chychrun is widely known more for he's more of an offensive defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
Sanderson, I think
people are pretty evened out. Yeah. Sanderson at 4 goals, 9 assists, Chychrun at 5 and 8.
Yeah.
I will say Sanderson's at a +4 though, which is also very impressive.
For me.
Especially on this team.
Yeah. It helps when you're paired with a better partner. So
that always helps.
That's cool. Let's talk a bit more about the Carolina Hurricanes, though. For Sens fans, who do you think are some players other than Jacob Slavin, because we already talked about him? Who are some players that Sens fans should look out for mostly? My pick's gonna be Martin Nečas.
It's a good pick, but I'll say this. I would say Seth Jarvis. He is on a way better start to his career. He's had some good, like his rookie year, he got 40 points. Last season, he got 39. A lot more power play goals, a lot more game winners in his rookie year. Last year, and that's saying something because he played 68 games that year. Last year, he played 82, didn't really get any power play goals or a lot of game winners. But this year, he's already beaten his career best in power play goals. And he's like one game-winning goal away from tying his rookie season, which was the best ever in that category too. And he's on pace to like basically beat his goals, assists, and points record and stuff like that too. And he said it in the exit interviews after the Eastern Conference final last year. He wants to get more physical. He wants to put on more muscle. He doesn't want to get pushed around anymore. And you clearly see that this year. He's absolutely throwing the body on guys. He's not letting anyone push him around. He's winning a lot more board battles. The wheels on him is absolutely insane. Like he outraced Rasmus Anderson last night on a chase down back into the Calgary zone. And he is way shorter than Anderson. And he absolutely just bodied him for the puck. Mm-hmm. So you can see that his 200-foot game has gotten better overall. And that Rod has thrown him into a lot more situations. He's on power plays, occasionally on the penalty kill. He's got his faceoff percentage is almost at 50%. Which is really huge because he's not a center at all, but he's been thrown in and he's almost won a good 50% of his face off. So he's basically, and he's like, I think second on the team in points, and he's only 21 in his third year. And this is a guy that no one knew that he was going to come out and stay with the team as a rookie because everyone thought he was going to go back to juniors in Portland. So I would say Seth Jarvis is a guy who is an RFA after this season. And some people are like,
that kid's going to be a Hurricane for a long time.
Yeah. It's like, is he going to get a bridge? Is he going to get a short-term deal? And I'm like, no, give him 7 to 8, give him a Jesperi Kotkaniemi contract, because Jesperi got one at 22. Seth Jarvis is 21. Forget the bridge. Just give it to him. You know, he's good. He's a 13th overall pick and he's shown it already. and he's only getting better. Throw him that 7 years and just be done with it. Give him a new contract when he's like 28, and give him and make him a Hurricane for life at this point, in my opinion.
For me, aside from the obvious answer in Sebastian Aho, I want to point your attention to our fourth line, and Stefan Nason, and especially Jack Drury, who has really been stepping up as a young player who finally broke like a full-time roster spot this year. Stefan Nason, he, if I'm not mistaken, scored the first goal in last night's game versus Calgary. He is really, really great. He's one of those kind of like silent, I don't know.
He's a silent assassin.
Silent assassin. Deadly. Yeah. So
silent but deadly. Yeah. That too.
He's one of those. Yeah. And the cool thing about it too is Steph and Jack actually have history playing together from being with the Chicago Wolves. May our affiliate rest in peace.
Calder Cup champions.
So they have a lot of chemistry together. So for them to end up on that fourth line and be as dangerous as they are is really, really vital to our success. And that's something that a lot of Hurricanes fans will kind of tell you is we might not have like a superstar studded team, but we have a lot of depth up and down our lineup. Rod could put anybody out there on the ice, and on a great night, on a really good, or it, like even a, you know, and a night where you expect, you know, them to play the way that we know them, how they play, you can put any line out there and they're going to perform well. Not many people can say that about their fourth line. So keeping an eye on Stefan Nason and Jack Drury and their kind of up and come, Stefan Nason currently sits at 15 points for the team right now. That's
very good for a fourth liner.
Very good for a fourth liner. Absolutely. So that's where that, a lot of that depth comes in. So that'll be my highlight forward wise.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps too, that you're on the power play unit as a fourth.
Absolutely.
Liner, so. Net front presence, baby. That's what you,
Island hey, sniper.
Yeah, if you get the, I think his net front presence really helped him out of getting some power play time, because not a lot of guys can do what he does, and I think that's what kind of has helped him get those extra minutes.
Somebody else I'll also bring up before, while we're highlighting players, and I'll make this brief too. Jalen Chatfield, also somebody to keep their eye on. He had a full roster spot last year, played really, really well, very great minutes on that third line, paired with Shane Gostisbehere towards the end of the season. And they've kind of been playing a little bit of tag with Jalen Chatfield and Tony D'Angelo, but we finally gotten to a point where Jalen's kind of getting a little bit more of that secured role. And he's taken it and ran with it too. Plays great defense, had a great defensive play along the boards during last night's game against Calgary. And I'm overall just incredibly impressed with his style of play and the way that he holds himself in our zone.
I love this discussion is really great, especially for Ottawa Senators fans who obviously aren't necessarily following each and every other team, to actually hear about some of those other players. My go-to is always Orlov. I know that he doesn't have, you know, particularly great plus minus this season, and he's kind of not necessarily, from what I've seen, hasn't necessarily found his game consistently. But it's, instead of hearing like the, you know, the bigger names, to actually hear about those fourth liners, especially coming from an Ottawa perspective where we're still struggling to find a consistent fourth line.
Yeah.
Good, you know, a really good top line, arguably a really good top six. Our middle six or third line is, you know, hit or miss. Now is a little bit better with Greg being back. But our fourth line has been the opportunities. So to hear about, you know, those depth players, is something that's going to be really interesting, especially as someone like myself, again, who's going to be at the game, to kind of pay attention to some of those, you know, those names that maybe I'm not as familiar with, and the impact that they can have. Speaking of impact, though, I like a good segue. I want to know your thoughts on, I wouldn't, maybe not necessarily the biggest news, but at least from my perspective, maybe the biggest news about Freddie Anderson's injury.
that was a tough one to hear about. Unfortunately, not I'm not going to say not surprising, but he has been very injury prone for the entirety of his career with us. So to have him sign for another year, we're riding on him as our, you know, main guy. We got sort of a 1A, 1B type situation going on with him and Antti Raanta. At least that's the way I like to look at it. So I went into the season super confident, like, yeah, we're going to, he played well for the games that he was healthy last year. I'm excited to see that this year. First, his concussion happens, or at least what we think was a concussion, comes back, plays well, and then we get this news. First off, again, if he hasn't heard us kind of sending our well wishes already, we're wishing the best for him. I would not be surprised if this is a career-ending situation.
Yeah, it's tough to see, and like we all know there's going to ever be a timetable for it because it blood. I mean, from all intents and purposes,
it's serious. It's yeah, something like, you take completely seriously.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically going to do he's going to have a full recovery. It's just, when is the recovery going to be? And there's a lot of people are thinking that it's probably a season done for him. So who really knows? And the Hurricanes do have him signed for next year too. So it's a lot of question marks going into it. And right now, goaltending is. It's a little sparse because if you look past Raanta and Kochetkov, the only other guy that's even available for the Hurricanes right now is Yanov Peretz, and he's with the Admirals in the ECHL.
We had a situation where we had signed Yaroslav Halak
to a PTO, but he was sitting around for 2 weeks and missing his family, so it was just kind of one of those things. And then the only other goalie that the Hurricanes have is Jacob Vondras, but he's back with Sudbury, and as you guys both know, Wondrabeka Jr. sucks to suck. You can't get him back. So,
yep.
It'd be honestly awesome if you could have like an emergency call up situation, but that doesn't apply, unfortunately. But that's all
it's funny how the different leagues, even not just the juniors too, but leagues outside North America too.
Yeah, with the KHL and stuff like that.
Relationships there too. It's really finicky.
Well, yeah, I mean, as someone who kind of somewhat follows the CHL and for the most part, yeah, it makes sense why you have to have a deal in place, because Chris and Jake, you both know, it's like you can't just leave it up to the NHL teams and be like, oh, hey, we want our junior guy back, and you're in the middle of the season. Yep. And as an Ottawa 67s fan, I mean, there's no Hurricanes on the team, but just as a 67s fan, that would suck if you start losing your junior players all of a sudden. You're like, hold up, time out. Like, yep. Wait a minute. We do have an OHL Cup to go after too. So like, let's not get too crazy here. So yeah, it's one of those things where, yeah, you got a good prospect in Vondras, but don't get.
I'm really hoping to eat my words and saying that this doesn't look great for the rest of Freddie's career, but at the same time, I'm really hoping he makes a full recovery, because as tense and as stoic as this man is, you can tell he has such a passion for the game and who he plays under and who he plays for. And it's a shame to see talent like that sit underneath a medical issue.
Yeah, and I know that I was just listening to 32 Thoughts today, and Elliot Freeman was sharing that he also, unfortunately, feels the same way, that it's likely going to be a season-ending injury for Anderson, and he brought up the name potential trade target of John Gibson to help. Ooh. Yeah, okay. So I thought about that, and then I know that he doesn't necessarily, not everyone's kind of hit or miss on him, especially, you know, you were mentioning about injury prone. Gibson's also injury prone
and goalie kind of go together in this league.
Unfortunately, so I have to Joseph Wallace on. I know this is dropping on Monday, but we are recording. But last night, yeah, it's just he's out, and someone who had him on his fantasy team, that kind of sucks because you have no goalies left outside of Connor Ingram, which is another name that's kind of been thrown around. But you can
have Saros back.
I mean, hey, I got Seth Jarvis out of the trade. I'm not upset. But no, it's yeah, I don't know. Like, because I wrote a piece for the Hockey Writers where it was like some names to look at.
But it was basically, I like that, just casually into the conversation. Yeah.
Yep. But no, it's like
single time.
But the thing is with that, it's like yeah, you could make a trade, but it's like, who are you going to give up for? And that's the thing. And what teams are going to give up their goalies, especially if they're contending, and if they're not on a contending team, how are they really doing? So it's like, you might be looking at free agency, and by then it's like, maybe Phoenix Copley, maybe Casey DeSmith.
Love Phoenix Copley.
Phoenix Copley is good. I don't know why LA is kind of just going doing whatever with him. He had a great season last year. Casey DeSmith is doing pretty decent in Vancouver. He's not going to get to play a lot because Thatcher Demko bounced back. Another name I thought of was Jeremy Swayman, but he's an RFA. And what's an offer sheet look like?
I hear that Tuukka Rask is appearing as the E-Bug.
Currently dealing with an illness. Yeah.
Yeah, Swayman's sick right now. So, yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. Goalies, man, it's weird. I mean, for you guys, I mean, look what you guys are having to deal with. You got Forsberg, got Kopi, and then it's like, yeah, we got goalies.
Yeah, we've got Sogard, but we don't want to bring him up yet, you know? We got to get one more final year in AHL, and then hopefully
development is so important with goaltenders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with young goaltenders, because it usually takes them, you know, you're looking at mid-20s before they start developing into sort of what you would expect from that goalie in terms of their positioning and lateral movement and all that sort of stuff. So yeah,
it's one of the big kind of qualms we had with bringing Pyotr Kochetkov up, because the whole reason we wanted to run with Ronta and Freddie this year was to give him one more year to develop, because he signed to a pretty nice contract for a goaltender. We want to hold on to him as long as we can, but we also wanted to hold on to him while he's fully developed. So sending him down to the AHL, letting him develop for the next year with Syracuse Crunch, what seemed like the best option, because he's playing for a decent team. He's getting that playing time that he needs that he wouldn't get if he was pulled up to Carolina and just sitting in the press box. But unfortunately that wasn't the case, and it's turned out to be okay. There's still a few little nitpicky things that of course you can pick out with a new goaltender, but other than that, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. It's tough for him because it's like, he hasn't really had a full season in the AHL, because it seems like the last couple seasons he's always bouncing back and forth and stuff like that. So I think it's good he's getting time in the NHL, but at the same time it's like he's here for like 2 or 3 months and has to go back. He's back for a month, has to go back. So it's
this is a little more steady and stable for him now, because with this long-term Freddie injury, he's not going anywhere.
The problem is our defense. Well, not just the defense, defense has been a bigger issue than it has been the last couple of years. So it's, he's up here for a lot longer, but
he's also getting that added stress. He doesn't have the good defense that the team provided for him last year and in other years past. So I think adds a little bit more stress on him, which is unfortunate. And you don't want that for a goaltender. You're trying to build up into a legendary kind of player. Mm-hmm. But you got to deal with the cards you've dealt, and that's kind of what we're playing with.
With that being said, we're just going to take a really quick ad break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors really quickly.
Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023. All rights reserved. And now, back to the show.
And we're back. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's talk about a prospect who I've actually been really interested in for the Hurricanes. Alexander Nikishin. What can you guys tell me about him?
Zach, I'll let you take this. I love this man. 2025.
Yes, before anyone asks, 2025, stop asking. no, for the fact that this dude, how young he is, he's got a letter already with SKA. He every week it seems like he's always top three in any category you're asking. You know, biggest trajectory, points out the wazoo. The defense, his 200-foot game is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Great puck handling, great shooting. He's got a bomb of a slapper. It is absolutely scary how hard this guy can shoot a puck. And the way he plays defense is so good. Like, he's got so many highlight reel hip checks that, like, old school defensemen would love to watch, because the fact that he can hip check almost anyone, mm-hmm. and he doesn't give up opportunities. Like, he'll hit him perfectly and it's totally fine. So it's just that his whole game as a nutshell is bar none the probably the best I've seen. Like outside of, I think, Mishkov, I think that's how you pronounce it, Chris, with the Ducks, you know, former 67. I think Nikishin's probably one of the biggest highly touted defensemen that's not in the NHL right now, or even in North America. So this dude is going to be absolutely amazing. A lot of people are hoping that he will sign. Some people are kind of nervous he won't. I think he will, because, come on, it's the NHL, and it's one of those things where it's like there's a good chance he might come over. He's going to be an absolute stud. You re-sign Jacob Slavin, you bring this guy over and pair those two together, that top unit's lights out with Slavin and Nikishin. It's game over.
I'll read off a few stats for you if you guys are interested. Nikishin currently leads the league in points, goals, and assists by a defenseman.
This kid's young too. Like, yes. He's like young.
Yes. So he's incredible physical presence, incredible offensive presence.
He's got incredible speed.
He's a guy, again, bringing up that physicality aspect, something that the Hurricanes have really been lacking in years past, and it's something we're very excited to see how it translates with him on the team. He's played really, really well, had great development out there in the KHL. We are very excited.
Billy, what's the actual number? So I know he leads.
So he, in 39 games played, he has 30 points, 20 of which are assists.
And let's keep in mind that the KHL is not a high scoring league. Thank mm-hmm. you very much.
No, 10 goals, 20 assists. That this kid is good.
I just about fainted.
Think about how we feel. We're falling at the mouth for this kid.
I would assume you probably feel the same way about him as we did, waiting anxiously for Sanderson to come into the.
Absolutely.
Right? Very similar. Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. I absolutely can relate to the. When is it 2025? You know, is it?
And that's where you bring in the whole like relationships with leagues, and it's really complicated. We'd love to get our hands on him early now, because we could definitely use that on the team right now. But that's a big payout that the team, I can go ahead and tell you right now, is not going to pay. Not going to worry about that. We're going to give him the rest of that time that he needs to thrive and develop in that league before he can come over and dominate the NHL.
Yeah, it's the payout is a lot, and the Hurricanes aren't going to pay that. Tom Dundon is smart with his money.
We have so many different things to worry about in regards to arena renovations, land building around the arena, and certain things like that, where there's so many different things in conversation. I think that is one of the last ones coming up in that front office.
Well, and also, too, a lot of UFAs coming up, because, you know, Walt Ruff just posted something today where we have a lot of guys. There's enough guys where it's like 20%, 26% of our cap is a UFA after this season. That's a lot. At and least. We have three RFAs too on top of that.
Let me go ahead and get the correct numbers for you. I'm pulling up Cap Friendly right now. We currently have, free agent wise, restricted and UFA, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Currently
signed to our NHL.
And also, Jacob Slavin is also a UFA after
next year. Season.
Yeah, so you also have to factor that into. Thankfully, the cap is going up for the next couple of years, but you still have a lot of contracts to deal with. So, yeah.
See, here's a potential scenario I was thinking about. Another prospect who I'm very excited about for the Carolina Hurricanes, who I think could actually make an impact as soon as next year on that third pair, if the team decides to go a 20-minute per pair unit. Okay. Kind of have three first pairs is if you walk away, because you got to sign Tony DeAngelo, which is obviously is not going to happen. He hasn't fit in this time around. But Jalen,
I mean, Chatfield, he's on the trade block, so there's a likely chance that we're not seeing him come back anytime soon.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, and then another guy is Jalen Chatfield needs a new contract. Dylan Coghlan needs a new contract. Those are guys that need new contracts, and I'm willing to bet they're going to cost some money, a lot of money, and with the little amount of money that the current Canes have to work with, it might be interesting to see if Scott Morrow can make an NHL jump sooner rather than later.
Okay.
Another prospect who's playing in the NCAA. Another player I was thinking, maybe not this year, but the year after that would be Bradley Nadeau.
Bradley Nadeau. I love this kid.
Yeah.
Wasn't he just snubbed for a roster spot on the Canadian team?
I think so, yes.
For the World Juniors, yeah.
But he's the best player on his current NCAA team. He's very, very good.
Yeah, up there in Maine. Yeah, he's playing. Was it Maine or was it North Dakota? Is one of the two?
It's Maine.
Okay. I thought so. Yeah,
one of my buddies.
Him and his brother are both in Maine. Yeah, which is insane because both of them together at Penticton both got 100 points in the same season. So what does that tell you?
Those two players have really revived that team's program.
Yeah, no, 100%. In terms of Morrow, it would be nice to see him, but coming out of NCAA, it's very hit and miss when it comes out of the collegiate leagues and going straight into the NHL. I would say you're probably going to see Scott Morrow play the AHL a little bit more than anything else in terms of next season. Coghlan and Chatfield, I think Chatfield's going to get a pretty decent contract. I don't think it's going to be in the range of he's going to hit $5 million.
No. I don't see it Coghlan, going above three, if that.
Yeah, Coghlan, he might get like a $1.5 million, maybe $2 million at the most, and that's if he's a seventh D-man. Honestly, we have no idea what's going on with the defense at this point because we brought so many guys in and changed so many things with it.
We were so backlogged with it, and now it's kind of come to the point where – You're giving guys that consistent playing time, but you have so much that you could plug in, and there are certain fallbacks that you could potentially have at your fingertips for the upcoming season. Dylan Coghlan, I think the whole point of that deal, he just wanted playing time because he didn't get much of that last season.
That's why he's in Springfield getting all those minutes with the Thunderbirds and the AHL. So it's just one of those things where he'd be good, but nothing he can't do anything as an eighth defenseman when your seventh D man's gonna be getting on the ice at this point. So it's just I don't know. I would love to see Scott Morrow, NHL, maybe another year or two away, if anything, because he's still in the NCAA. It's still a huge jump going from college to NHL. So I don't know. It'll be great. Probably a couple of years at least away from that, unless he just absolutely shows out, like, you know, Vasily Ponomarev did or all those other guys, then that's a different story. So
love Vasily.
I am as much as I love the prospect talk, that's one of the things, especially over the last year or so, that I've really started getting into Senators with the Belleville Senators and stuff. I'm really, really interested. We've kind of touched on it a little bit today. I'm really interested to hear your thoughts, whether you want to grade it or whether you just want to vent for a minute about your thoughts on the season so far. So just to give, obviously these stats are going to be a little bit different by the time everyone hears this. But as of recording, after 26 games played, the Canes are 14-11-1. Which gives them 29 points. That's fourth in the Metro, and that gives you a .558 point percentage. And you're currently on a losing streak of three. So, what are your thoughts on
currently sitting in a second wild card spot? If I'm not mistaken, are we still 12th in the league?
Yep, we are 12th in the league, second wild card spot as of right now. And unfortunately, when this does drop, we will have just played Vancouver in Vancouver on Saturday, and they just beat the Wild last night.
Yeah.
And they have 17 wins. The Canucks have come absolutely nowhere. And I will say this about the Canucks real quick. They need to bring back those black, red, and yellow jerseys. their flying skate jerseys are the best.
Yeah,
I agree. Absolutely.
Yes. Just like the Senators, how they brought back the 2D Senators logo, which is chef's kiss, amazing.
Yeah,
the Canucks need to go back. I love the blue ones are nice, but come on, the flying skate ones are just absolutely amazing.
You just can't beat that. You can't beat that.
No, you can't. Like I said, the Senators absolutely killed it. Canucks, what are we doing here? Buffalo, bring back the goat head. Just do it.
Absolutely, I agree.
The season.
And even if you want to, like, maybe I was also kind of as a second part to that question. Also, what do you think about Brendan Moore's job so far? Like, not to say he's not on the hot seat or anything
But he's not.
He's not going anywhere. But just want to know what your thoughts are on him as well.
I will say, so I'll answer your second part of your question. His seat's fine. It's not him. Like the system, we know the system works. It's just I think teams might have figured it out. And all we've been hearing for the last few weeks is guys aren't buying in and stuff like that. You hate to hear it. I don't know if it's assisting. I don't know if it's a coaching thing in terms of the assistants, or I don't know if it's just certain players or however that works out. But I think they're still having a decent season overall. I think I still think they're playing well. Yeah, the record isn't great. Yeah, there's a lot of expectations because it's odds-on favorite to win the cup, go win the Metro, possibly go fight for a president's trophy, stuff like that. Yeah, the team is struggling. You get some dominant games, and then you have games where you kind of fall apart. There's games you have a lead and lose it, like last night against Calgary. When you have your boss from THPN on, who's going to brag about it for the next few weeks.
Looking forward to that.
I'm still very optimistic with this team. I think they're going to figure it out. Like, they have 56 games left in the season. It's an 82 game season. That's so many games. There's 56 left. It's not like if this was March. Yeah. Or this is like February. Let's say February. Yeah. I'd be kind of like, oh, okay, I'm kind of nervous now. It's like the first weekend in December. Like let's pump the brakes. The world's not falling apart. Let's not make moves just to make moves. Yeah. The team is struggling. They will figure it out because they have done it in the past, but I would say there may be a slight panic. Like maybe it's like DEFCON 2 out of 5, but it's not like the end of the world. Like we got to just blow everything up. And it's like all that. It's definitely a more difficult season than you thought it was going to be. But I still think there is time for the ship to get righted because it's broad. They figured it out before. They know what they need to do. And I think it's going to figure itself out. And the thing is, it's not just one position you got to fix. Like, oh, let's get a goalie. Getting a goalie is not going to fix it. Oh, let's get a defenseman. That can't figure itself out too. Oh, let's trade for people are like, we need a goal scorer. The team can score goals.
We've got amazing scoring depth up and down our
yeah, it's not one position that you can fix. I always see we need a scorer. We need a goalie. Okay. Where are you going to get it? Who are you going to give up for it? Because it's not going to be like you can put on easy mode on NHL 24 and just fleece a million teams and get a superstar roster with a cap.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? So there's an overall team issue that needs to be addressed more than just, oh, it's one position. It's not.
On paper, this team is dangerous. You look at the physicality that we added, you look at the grit that we added, especially in Michael Bunting and Dmitry Orlov. On paper, this team is insane. Cup favorite for sure. I mean, we saw the projections at the beginning of the season. To me, I hear what Zach is saying, and I think this is the part where we disagree just a little bit. An 82 game season is a very, very long season. Yes. I also think that while I'm never a fan of panic mode ever, don't think that's where we need to be at all ever. But I do think that there is something that needs an issue that needs to be fixed and addressed now, because if it doesn't get addressed now, I don't think it's going to until the trade deadline. The front office needs to start having those talks about, okay, who are these guys? Because one of the constant interview things that is coming up post game is there's guys that aren't stepping up. There's guys that are not showing out and doing what they need to be doing out on the ice. There's guys who are doing what they need to do and guys that need to quote unquote look in a mirror. That's an issue, especially for a team of this caliber playing under a guy like Brendan Moore, who's known to pull greatness out of guys and teams that may not look as great on paper, and it can have them perform well underneath the system that has worked for this team for the past, what, five, six years? And so since his time stepping in head coach, it's something that we've really, really enjoyed watching, is this team fall into a rhythm, fall into a pattern, fall into their own kind of play style. We're not seeing that this season. We're at least not much of it. We're seeing a team that the passion doesn't look like it's there. The momentum is like an on and off switch. It's not consistent. You're seeing some of the top guys who just aren't doing what they need to be doing. You're seeing some of the maybe not as big, great guys having to step up in that absence. And while that's fantastic and we want to see that show from our guys lower down in the lineup, which again, don't ever number a lineup in front of Rod Brendamore, but we want to see that consistency from everybody. We want to see everybody doing the jobs that they were brought here to do and they know how to do. We know how this team can perform. We know that the capability to be great is there. The passion is not, the turnover rate is not, the it's really disheartening to watch as a fan, especially if you're a new fan. If you're a fan who's been with the team for a little while, which I can only seldomly relate to this, this isn't nothing new, or this isn't anything new. We've seen the team at their lowest, and this, while we've had high expectations over the past few years, this is, it's tough to watch. Because again, this team is great on paper and they're not performing the way that they should be.
Yeah. And I think as we kind of start winding down here a little bit, Jake just sent me a message that got me really distracted.
I'm just distracted by your dog more than anything else. Like, your dog,
I know, yeah. He's making a special guest appearance. Yeah. Over my shoulder.
Big hockey fan.
Yeah, he is. He loves watching the game. He writes the notes for me. It's great.
I love it.
He does a great job.
I will say, though, in my preseason rankings, I found it very difficult not to rank Carolina first. I put them second in the East, just behind New Jersey, and we see what's going on there. That's where I had them, and you could easily have convinced me otherwise to put.
Totally. If I was not biased, I might have had the same issue.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. So I think that what you're going through right now, you know, it's a little bit different for Sens fans, because while we went into this season with a lot of high expectations, a lot of high hopes, new owner, we were getting back to our roots. Things started off really well. The things haven't gone so well, but we didn't have higher hopes than, as Zach, you had said earlier, just make the playoffs. If you make the playoffs, that's all we need. We weren't favored as a cup winner, which is where Carolina's found themselves over at least the past couple of seasons. So to see the way that things happened in their last game against Calgary and the past few games before that, it is disheartening. So I can at least relate to you just a little bit, but I did want to put the caveat on there, letting you know that I still have them in my heart. I still have them ranked.
Now I will say
the last time.
Sure. We talked too, to kind of turn it back to the Senators a little bit while we're winding down. Last time we talked on a Twitter space, there were a few things that you guys had to say about your current head coach. Love to hear your current thoughts on those now.
Real quick before that, for back to you guys on predictions, I did pick you guys to get a wild card spot out of the Atlantic. So fourth, but still a wild card. So, you know, respects there. Game recognizes game.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I would say my opinion hasn't changed. Jake, I don't want to take credit for this, but this was Jake. Jake was the first one to kind of plant this in my mind. So what was it? What are we now? It was like Tuesday, I think, or something like that. Tuesday or Wednesday, we hired Jacques Martin as a senior advisor to the coaching staff. And I saw that as just like what they've always been doing, which is beefing up, which is great. First and foremost, like, now we're actually paying to have staff, which is great. It's not something we've ever really done. We went minimal staff
Well, that's what you get when you have Eugene Melnick as your owner, who basically is like, well, here's your silo. Now just do nothing. Yeah. At least you're actually having an ops team finally.
Exactly. Yeah. He treated it like a business when you can't treat a sports team like a business. I mean, you can, to a point. Yes.
You still need a hockey ops to actually do their day-to-day hockey ops things. You can't just be like, oh, you can take care of all of it.
It takes a certain understanding to run.
It takes a village. It takes a village to run a team.
It does. Yes. And so when they hired him, I thought it was, first of all, widely viewed as a really positive move for the organization. Not only was it bringing somebody back, somebody from the past who was instrumental in the turning around of this club, but he was widely respected. He has a great resume. But they brought him back. And I thought, again, that it was just to kind of like add additional support, eye in the sky, be able to provide some perspective and some feedback. But then Jake had actually made the point, and it's been made a few times since, that isn't it interesting that they bring in Jacques Martin when things aren't going very well? You know, they're basically a 500 team as they've been for the past, you know, six seasons. Mm-hmm. What would happen if they brought Jacques Martin in to, yes, he's going to be a senior advisor, but if once things go off the rails, DJ's fired, Jacques Martin takes his spot on an interim basis till the end of the season, gives the team still time to be able to find a new GM. And then he can even audition for the role. Although he's 71, I don't think he really wants to be a head coach anymore. He loves the game, but I don't think he wants to be in it that way. But just be an interim. So they now don't have to go out to find someone else. They already have someone there.
So this is a grooming process in your eyes.
Essentially, you'd have Jacques Martin take over till the end of the season. And I think it would still be it would be an incredible season. Then in the off season, they find, you know, their GM, and their GM then hires their coach, and then who I hope will be Patrick Waugh. I know it's a bit of a hot take for some people, but I really
I've been seeing that around. Honestly, yeah, the fact you guys got Jacques Martin is an absolute great job by you guys. And I could, as you're explaining it, Chris, I'm like, that actually would make sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
I mean, and even then, once you get your new GM, your new coach, you can still have Martin still stay with the team and still be an advisor in some way. Because like you said, he loves the game. Okay, if he's after his interim, yeah, just put him back in the front office and let him help the hockey ops team. Because obviously you guys need it, because every team needs a hockey ops. So let him run the hockey ops department or whatever role you give him.
Yeah.
You have that new GM, because your last GM somehow survived for a really long time, and it still doesn't make any sense to me, but that's here, near, or there.
That's a discussion
for another day,
though. That's a whole other discussion when we're just talking about Senators, which I would love to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's getting Martin. Yeah, you're getting so much flexibility with what you can do with them this season and seasons after, where he's still with the team. So yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if that does happen.
And you also have to remember, just to kind of just one last thing, is you have to remember that Steos and Ann Lauer have been preaching the importance of stability, mm-hmm. of calmness. So bringing someone, and then ultimately, if DJ's let go, Martin just moves over. You don't then have this drama of now having to look for head coach. So it's just like all of these kind of pieces.
Yeah, they're setting the blocks up.
They went on TV, but I would say that it would make sense for this if that's the case. Yeah.
Now you mentioned, you know, when the time comes when things might kind of hit the fan.
Yeah.
What's that timeline for you potentially?
January 1st.
All right. There we go.
If the Senators are below 500 on January 1st, you make that change. That's what I said in the last podcast, and that's what I'm going to be preaching until January 1st hits.
All right. Yeah,
I could see that being, especially when you look at their record, you know, they'll win two, then they lose three. They win one, they lose two. Like, they're a 500 hockey team, and they shouldn't be. And yes, the game against Toronto, I think, was overall, I didn't watch the New York game or the Rangers game, so I'm not able to speak to how they looked in that game. I watched a little bit of it, but I didn't see the whole game. But the Toronto game, in my opinion, especially that first period, was the best period of hockey I've seen them play all season. And that's what they have to do. But they are physically incapable of being able to hang on to that same structure. And structure is this year's meaningful games for me. It triggers me in a way I cannot even explain, because I say it so often, because they just lack that structure and that consistency throughout the game. So first period is always really good, or more often than not really good. Second period is terrible. First half or three quarters of the third period are usually really bad. And then they kick it up at the end when they've lost the game. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So yes, January 1st, I'm fine with that. I was going to say trade deadline, but I'm fine with, yeah.
No, if the Senators are not in the playoffs by trade deadline, they're done the season. And I'd prefer if he was moved on beforehand.
That needs to change beforehand. If you guys have plans like that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just annoyed that it was the Leafs that won that game, but you know, that's just,
darn.
Yeah. I mean,
that was an unfortunate game. That sucked. The Leafs did not deserve to win.
No.
It's anytime
that's Senators, a pattern in the NHL, though.
Yeah.
It's Senators Leafs. Yeah, I'm like, please, Senators, just please be Toronto.
Yeah.
Us too.
On that though, I'm gonna move on to a little bit of a game though, because it's something we've been trying lately and it's been super fun. I told Chris what it was gonna be, but I lied to him. Yeah.
Okay. So just so everyone knows, we've now started this tradition of Jake randomly throwing things at me, and I have to know the title of the game, but I don't know any of the questions. Okay. And I want everyone to know that's really the case. And now I have literally no idea what we're doing.
I love spontaneity. Let's go.
I'm sweating. No. So this is great for me.
How are your palms doing?
I don't want to talk about it.
Sticking together. We're good.
What we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of this or that, where we're going to compare one player from the Senators and one player from the Carolina Hurricanes and seeing who would we rather. I'm going to start off pretty easy, the 2018 draft. Would you rather have Brady Tkachuk on your team or Andrei Svechnikov on your team? I'll throw it to Zach first.
Andrei Svechnikov.
Really? Why?
His knee injury kind of slowing him down this year to kick his season off a little bit slower than usual. It's still Andrei Svechnikov. Okay. I like Brady Tkachuk a lot, but if you're looking at a player who can be very dynamic once he's fully on, I think that's Andre, and that's not me being biased. Like it's very close. It's a very close 1A, 1B, but I still pick Andre.
I'll throw it to Chris.
So it pains me to say this, but I agree with Zach.
Really?
Yeah. If I could have either, I would be totally happy with it. But
oh, you want though? By the way, Bailey's reacting. I know the fact. I'll context this. Andrei Svechnikov is her favorite current Hurricane, and her reaction is giving me, oh, there's gonna be some betrayal. of heinous proportions.
Yeah.
Heinous.
I have to pull up some stats before I give my answer.
All right, yeah. Jake.
I've got some stats for you too if you're looking them up real quick. I will
say absolutely. I would love goodness. It. Yes.
Chris, get ready.
Yeah. Andrei Svechnikov's career high in 78 games in a 21-22 season is 30 goals and 39 assists for 69 points in 78 games. Nice. Brady Tkachuk last year scored 35 goals, 48 assists, and 83 points in 82 games. Brady Tkachuk's better.
Overall, though, I'm not looking at career highs. I'm looking at consistency.
Fair. You're not wrong. Yeah.
Like, so that's what I was getting ready to look up.
It's like, you make a good point there, Jake, but hold up.
I see what you're trying to do there, and I really appreciate it. Give me.
Chris,
continue, please.
Here. Look at this hand, but also look at this hand.
Yeah,
look at the
apples to apples. Yeah. Personally, I don't think while Billy's looking up her stats, I don't really think you can go wrong either way. But the real reason why I value Brady Tkachuk more than Andrei Svechnikov is simply for the fact that Brady Tkachuk is a unicorn in the NHL. Sure, if Svechnikov plays in the corners, he plays a gritty style game at times as well. But Brady Tkachuk drags the team onto the ice. And nothing against Svechnikov, but I don't think Svechnikov is that captain type of player. And for that reason, I value Tkachuk more.
Well, yeah. See, apples to oranges. Yeah, Andre, you're not really wanting Andre to be a captain. You want him just to be a really good hockey player and do his job. I will say this though, for Brady, I'm gonna swing this back to the Florida Senators game, and you know what game I'm talking about because it was that one with that. It's okay. How many guys you have on the bench? Five. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. His brother is in the middle of the whole chaos, and he doesn't go after him. I know he's your brother.
But the reason for that is
because... Come on, man. Yeah. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah. The reason for that is because each brother has promised their mom they'd never fight each other in the NHL. So that's because Miss Chantal Tkachuk does not want her brothers beating the crap out of each other on public TV. That can be done off camera.
I'm not saying you have to fight each other, but at least, like, get in each other's faces. That's not... fighting is just John.
Last year it almost happened.
Last
year it almost happened. Are you ready, Bailey?
I think I am ready.
Did you write off the paper or something like that?
No, so I have NHL.com stats pulled up for each player, and I'm just going through and looking, and then I pulled up daily face-off.
Because
that's going to go into my this way more complicated than it
get is. Ready for a dissertation at this point.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah.
As Zach mentioned, Svechnikov is my current favorite Hurricane. I love the way that he plays the game. He is a little undisciplined at times. The league also has a little bit of a vendetta against him, but that's another dissertation for another day. but in looking at stats, overall, Brady Tkachuk has had a better career. In terms of point highs and things of the sort. I think with Andre, the difference between the two players for me is that Brady, for the most part, had a consistent first line, second line kind of, he is a top six player. In Rod's system, Andre is kind of playing like a middle six kind of role right now. On another team, I think he could find a way onto that top slot when he's at his healthiest, or on that top line when he is at his healthiest. But solely due to career and how the situations they have ended up in, give me Brady.
Yeah, let's go. I told you. Chris, let's go. Chris, what did
and
I
this
tell
is
you,
coming
man?
From somebody who loves Andre Svechnikov as a player. He is a very dynamic player. I think any team would be incredibly lucky to have this kid on their team. But based on who they have been matched up with on lines, the success that they have had on those lines.
Jake, I think you need to swap Chris and Billy around because it's like...
am I the newest co-host of Talking Some Sense? Is that what's happening?
We got the perfect X going. It's, you know, me and Chris, one X, one way. This isn't just a hat rack, my friend. I mean, I saw that coming. I saw that coming a mile away. I'm like, facial reaction, I'm like...
Zach Stradamus.
Wow.
All right, next one. I'm going to go... we'll go defense first.
Okay.
Number if you say Slavin, I swear to gosh.
Yeah. Either Jacob Slavin or Jake Sanderson.
Who can go first? Can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I'm going. Ended off. Give me Jacob Slavin.
Sure.
Every day.
I knew you were going to say
every
that.
Every day. Yeah. Maybe this is a little bit of bias too, but looking at the way that I've seen him play the game, again, he is an elite player. He's a guy who... Yeah, offense may not be his strong suit, but you want somebody to lock down your zone, lock down the net. Give me Jacob Slavin every single day of the week.
Fair. Chris?
You mispronounced his last name, just so you know. It's Sanderson. That's the right pick.
Okay. Very, very nice.
I,
nice.
I, I, I would. It didn't end as well as I was hoping.
I was waiting for it. I was like, wait, no. And I'm
pretty sure I know how to pronounce his last name.
Hold on there.
No, I think what you meant, Chris, was like, I think that's a funny way to spell Jake Sanderson.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'll be better at jokes at some other time.
It's my fault. I'm slow. You're good.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah, I would pick Sanderson every day of the week. It's not even close. He is, we kind of talked about it a bit earlier, but he is probably one of the most underrated. He is one of the most underrated players. If he played in the States, he would be, he would be a finalist, Norris Trophy finalist. I think he was snubbed last season, at least to be in the top five.
What is the reason you give him the Norris finalist? Because what the Norris has become lately, something that is a big point of contention for me. Yeah. Why does that go to Sanderson for you?
So I think, and last night during the Leafs game was a great example of this. It's his one. There's so many answers I could go with, but one is his gap control. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love his back check, love his gap control. He reads plays really well, and he gets that stick in the zone. And he is just, and he can, the other thing for me is the transition game, right? And that's something that Ottawa's lacked for a long time. It's usually, and they're still guilty of it a lot of the time, but it's the dump and chase. Whereas someone with Sanderson's skating, it's elite level skating. He can carry that puck out of the zone and he can gain entry. And you'll actually see him oftentimes down low. Like he's like behind he's in the offensive zones end, right?
Caught deep. Okay.
Yeah, really, really deep. And so seeing that from a defenseman, he's going to be able to not only do that, but if they lose the puck, he's going to be able to skate back fast enough to be able to provide the back check, even if he's down low. It's just, he's off the charts. And I think we're only beginning to start to see the player that he's going to become.
Fair. Zach.
Oh, I don't want to.
You see how the situations are flip flopping here, guys?
how the turns table.
How the turns of tables.
Okay, Michael Scott.
Because I will say this though, Jake Sanderson's got 9 PIMs. That sounds like a little a la Jacob Slavin, where penalty minutes are very, very low.
Yeah, and I think they're very similar players.
Yeah, and the fact that he also has played like over 23 and a half minutes a game right now, which is huge. Yeah, points-wise, 13, but I mean still, and that's with him still missing time. Yeah. Come on, that plus-minus is so nasty at a +4. And he's got 42 shots on goal. As much as I love Jacob Slavin, it's the fact that he is my favorite current Kane, and I did it to Bailey, I'm going to have to do it to myself. Give me Jake Sanderson, man.
Like to point out, currently Jacob Slavin has more points than Sanderson right now.
Sure. But he's also on a way better team.
Sanderson has been – he's been out. Jacob Slavin hasn't been out. So there is also that too. But I like I said, Bailey, you know how much I love Jacob Slavin. Everyone knows I do, but –
We both turned on our favorite players this episode.
You're welcome.
This is great. This makes for great TV.
Kat's going to kill me when we get back on recording next week.
How do you think I'm going to feel? She's going to kill me because we're both the Slavin people.
I can go ahead and answer this for Kat and say hers is Jacob Slavin.
Oh, yeah.
I can answer that for her.
Like I said,
I'm reading her mind right now.
I'll say this. Like I said, for Svech and Brady, this is definitely, I think this is like 1AA to 1BB. That's how close it is.
Yeah.
Of how, like,
that's the thing.
You can flip flop these guys. That's how close it is for me. That's the same thing with Andre and Brady. You can flip flop.
That's the one thing that I was noticing with these players too. Is you're looking at a guy like Sanderson who has a bit more of an offensive mind than Jacob Slavin does. He's that guy who's going to be aggressive, who's going to run deep to get pucks, who's going to have that super aggressive back check to make sure he's making up for that maybe lost time getting caught deep. Like he's a really really versatile player that way.
His stick control is amazing too. Like I said, 9 PIMs.
He's got multiple roles on that team that you guys could delegate that task to, and he can get it done. Jacob's got one. And that's he is one of the more purely defensive minded defensemen.
That's why we need to have the Norris go back to the defensive defenseman trophy, and that's why you make a Paul Coffey offensive to give it to those points based guys like a McCarr or a Carlson. Just give them an offensive defenseman trophy. Here's your points.
The Lindstrom and then the Orr.
Or just keep it the Norris and then make it the Lindstrom, however you want to do
whatever you call it. Make that trophy.
Make
that the points-based offensive-minded defense trophy and bring the Norris back to where it actually should be. But dang you, Jake.
I love these questions. I hate you for asking them, but I love them.
I hate you, but gosh dang, I respect you.
Yeah.
If we had to pull some Anchorman, I respect you.
All right. Thank you. We'll get this last one here before I let you guys go on your way. I know your schedule's pretty busy and everybody's busy, but let's get this last one here.
Oh, gosh.
Sebastian Aho or Tim Stützle? Chris, go ahead. This is a really...
I hate you there so much. I hate you so much because... Oh, I hate you so much for that.
Yeah, Timmy superstar for me. It's hands down, not even a question. Easiest answer outside of Sanderson. Actually, no, this one's easier.
Yeah.
When you watch Stützle's game, how he continues to grow. Again, he's just tapped the surface in terms of his skill set. It's not just his offense. Watch the game and watch his defense. Yes, he still makes some mistakes. But it is so much better. And I'm finding as the season's progressing, this is going to sound silly, but he's falling down a lot less because he's not overthinking the game. As long as he's not overthinking the game, he has really good offensive awareness, obviously, but his defensive, he's so good without the puck. Man, it's Tim Stützle for me.
How does this guy only have 5 goals, but he has like a bajillion assists?
Yeah,
he started off weird.
Yeah, yeah. And he should have had more, especially after last night's game against Toronto.
20 assists and 5 goals. But yeah, of course, his PIMs are really low too for a forward. Gosh.
Zach, what's your choice?
Oh, you
still need more time?
No, I hate you, Jake, so much for this. Well, multi-reasons because I have a lot of family from Germany and I really follow German hockey a lot more, especially the juniors and the national team and stuff like that. And I like Tim Stützle. So it's like, if I could swear on this podcast, I would, because how dare you, sir? How dare you, sir? I love Sebastian Aho. Like I do. He's really good. And I think Bailey can attest to this though. There is some points during seasons where you're like, where is Sebastian Aho? And that's where we're not even including, like, he's a player who is sneaky good at getting you 2 goals or here's 3 points, but like it doesn't pop off the score sheet like when a Stützle does it or a Josh Norris, Sanderson, where it's like, holy crap, this guy, just like he just blows off your TV screen. Sebastian Aho will do it very quietly, which is good to have because he's one of those quiet guys that will get you the points. But then, like I said, Bailey will agree with me on this. There are some stretches where you're like, where is he? And it's like, and now with his new contract kicking in the next year, you really got to hope that he was a point per game guy. I don't think he is right now because he had a goal, but was disallowed for goaltender interference. That's a whole different thing. I don't know if he is. Is he still a point per game? Because I know he was like 2 above. I think he's back to even now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stretches where I wish he would be that. I think he is a superstar player, but there's some games you're like, I would love to see it.
Love to see more.
And that's why it's kind of like, I want to pick him so bad. But with Stützle, though, yeah, it's him. He is that guy who will show up every single game and he'll jump off the scoreboard. He'll jump off the TV screen. He will get you the points. Even if he doesn't get you the points, he still makes an impact where, he might not get you a goal. He might not get you an assist, but you will notice his play. And I think with Sebastian, it's when he's not on his game.
Overall, his season stats look great, but if you're looking at it at a game-by-game basis, it's
He gets it in bunches.
Now we'll throw it to you, Bailey.
We have not had a same one this entire time, Zach, and I think I'm going to continue the trend here. I've got to go Sebastian Aho here. I will throw it.
You see, it's tough for me. You saw it.
It is tough, and that's where I will give you props in saying this guy's young career. Sebastian entered the league at 2016. Arguably not as great of a team, still performed well. I will give that to Tim Stützle. He is a wonderful, fantastic player. I was just looking at his stats and I was like, I can't believe he got to 90 points. That's insane.
Good for him. Yeah, the thing with Sebastian too, real quick, Bailey, I know you'll agree with this too. Like, Sebastian Aho will be one of the greatest Hurricanes of all time because he will have a lot of playoff records and all this other stuff too. So, but
years down the line, that man's number is going to be in the rafters.
It will. It will. But right now,
you heard it here.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. But
I think with the impact that he's had on the team and the kind of leadership role that he had to pick up from an early age too, really contributes to this for me as well. Sebastian had to pick that up pretty early too, and I mean, well deserved. Kid mm-hmm. absolutely earned it. I think I would maybe have a different answer with Stützle having a few more years under his belt.
I think he's had
a really, really great career early on in his NHL career. I'm interested to see how that changes down the road.
I can see Stutz getting a letter at some point. I don't think it'll ever be a C, but I can see him getting an A.
He does have an A right now.
He does have an A. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if he did or not, but yeah, honestly, you get Brady a C, Stutz the A, give Sanderson the A. There's your leadership core for the next like decade plus.
What are you talking about? Where's Chabot?
I love Chabot, but I think Sanderson's going to get the A.
You gotta remember, we're defensively minded. We like defensive leadership.
I mean, hey, the Hurricanes have four captains because we have guys that swap the A for home and road. You can do the same thing for Chabot Sanderson. Yeah. Flip the A for home and road. There you go. Yeah. There you go, Jake.
And thinking about that too, I totally forgot that he had the A too. I'm impressed at the leadership that he's got this early in his career as well. I am somebody who's been scarred many times from loving players earlier in their career, and it turns out to not be great. So I'm hoping that's not the case for Stützle, but I would like to see a few more years under his belt before I sit here and say that guy.
Bailey, you saw how hard it was. You saw how hard it was for me to pick Stützle. So I mean, it's
well deserved.
It was not easy.
Given the caveat that I've actually met Tim Stützle a couple of times.
Oh, so you're biased. There we go.
What a flex.
You're sitting here calling us famous. Come on,
yeah.
dude.
I'll send you my autograph. It'll be fine. So.
I expect overnight shipping, please.
Priority for sure.
I mean, hey, you apparently got the money for it, Chris, because you're so famous and also.
I know it's a struggle, but he's just like off ice. Obviously, he's an incredibly nice guy, super easy to deal with. Yeah, so that's part of the reason why I definitely chose him. I don't know where Jakey went, but let's keep going.
Oh gosh, we got more. Let's do more at this point. I mean, you've already made us betray two
points. We can maybe fit one or two more in.
I don't have any of the questions. I didn't know any of these questions.
I mean, all we're really doing is going this or that. So I mean, it's kind of like, oh, let's look at the roster and go this.
So
oh gosh, that was brutal. That was
Bailey. Sorry, I'm back. I got a phone call. Sorry about that.
Bailey, we're gonna get yelled at by everyone. It's like, how dare you pick these guys?
Oh, Kat's gonna kill me.
Oh yeah.
It was nice knowing you guys.
Yeah.
You had a good run.
Yeah, it's like what happened to Zach and Bailey? Well, you see what happened.
See, Kat's running the show on her own now. It's fine.
Yeah.
Anyways, I want to thank you guys so much for hopping onto this little bit of a collaboration episode of the Talking Some Senators podcast.
Yeah, it was really fun.
No, thank you. Definitely. Thank you guys for having us again. This was a blast. We need to do this again. Great job, guys. Keep up doing what you're doing. We love it.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks so much. Just to kind of echo what Jake said, thanks so much for coming on. Now the two times that I've had a chance to connect with you folks in this space, it's just been so much fun. Time flies.
It really does.
We've been talking for like 2 hours now, and it's just
like, what?
it's flown by, and it's always such a great time. You two are passionate, and same with Kat, for the record.
Don't leave her out.
You'll see just how passionate she is.
I know, and I don't want to. I'm good.
You don't want to be like Kyle and get absolutely roasted on a live stream. You don't.
I love her to death, but don't get on that girl's bad side.
No, I'm good. I'm good staying on this side. You three are very passionate, and not just about your Hurricanes, but about the league. And it shows with these great discussions that we get to have. So definitely have to do this more often. It would be great to continue doing these crossover episodes. You're great guests. So thank you.
Yeah. I'd love it. I know you guys have been doing your little space thing more recently too. I'd love to hop on a space with you guys after the game, just kind of talk puck and talk the game. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to try to start doing that more. Yeah.
And we're back. You just listened to Chris and I's discussion with Bailey and Zach of the Surgecast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Find their show anywhere you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, all that fun stuff. I think it was a very fun discussion. What were your thoughts on that, Chris?
It was a fantastic discussion. Again, cannot stress enough how much all of you need to make sure that you follow the Surgecast anywhere you get your podcast, as well as on Twitter, at the Surgecast. They are fantastic. We had Zach and we had Bailey on today. Kat is equally as awesome. We'll throw out their handles so you can make sure.
Yeah, I'll get their hand. Yeah. So Zach, you can find at One True Zach. Bailey, you can find at Bailey Curtis with two Y's. And Kat, you can find at Kaniakchik.
And I can't think of three better people to be able to have a great conversation with. Man, these discussions, as I said in our conversation, these conversations always, as much as we want it to be, like, we're going to aim for like a half hour. An hour and a half later, we're still chatting. We're like, okay, no, we probably actually should stop talking. They are so knowledgeable. All three of them are. In this interview, you heard incredible knowledge, incredible insight from both Bailey and Zach. They get their stuff. They're also not just when it comes to the Carolina Hurricanes aspect of things. Obviously, that's their primary focus, but they are just hugely passionate about hockey, and they are absolutely incredible resources. Love their conversation. I cannot wait to have them on again. They are incredible people. I'm going to throw it back to you, Jake, because I'm just going to keep, I'm running out of superlatives because I just genuinely enjoy them so much.
Yeah, it was definitely out of my interview episodes so far, it's definitely been top up there to one of my favorites. And we've interviewed a bunch of people throughout the past few years, Alex and I, and Chris, even this year, we've interviewed a couple of people so far, and it's been a really, really fun so far. And that was the probably most interactive one I've had yet. I think my favorite part of it was, first and foremost, before we started recording, we talked for a good 45 minutes. And after we ended recording, we talked for another 30. So it was a very long discussion, but it was a fun one.
And I actually thought that you were going to, so I 100% agree with you. That was incredible. It was like a bunch of people just hanging out, you know, having some drinks or just hanging out, relaxing together, all that sort of stuff. Just like, we're all getting ready to watch a game together. We're all just sitting on the couch together. It was great. I actually thought your favorite moment, and we're not going to ruin this for the podcast, but I thought your favorite moments were going to be the game you unexpectedly threw on, well, me, but also Bailey, yes, and Zach. So, because that, yes, that turns some, we've talked about this a little bit, but that kind of may have caused some drama.
Yeah, I think their podcast has called it quits. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
joking. Yeah, there was some definite drama there, and there was definitely some we threw out some names, and there were some unexpected answers that may strike some nerves, and it was great to hear that. So that's what I thought, Jake. I thought that's where you were going to go with that one.
Oh, I was definitely gonna get into it, but yeah, I will say this first and foremost: Tim Stutzel is better than Sebastian Aho, Brady Tkachuk is better than Andrei Svechnikov, and Jake Sanderson is better than Jacob Slavin.
You know what, man? I'm good with going 2 for 3 on you that with you on that one. So that's
which one did you disagree? I forget.
Brady.
As much as that's right.
Yeah. As much as opinion. Right, yeah. But yes, yeah.
I think you're wrong, but that's okay.
Well, that's fine.
We'll crucify you for that later.
Yeah, I can be right. You can be wrong. That's fine. Anyway,
I think you're right. I think you're wrong, and I'm the right one here.
Well, I mean, agree to disagree. But it was a fantastic episode. Really, really, really fantastic interview. Again, I can't speak enough about how great those three are. Please make sure, again, Jake, I'm going to throw it to you to make sure that we get the Twitter handles out there, X handles, if you will. Let's make sure that we get people following Absolutely. These folks. We have a game. This is coming up. So this game is coming up, and we just really want to make sure that you're all ready for the incredible analysis from these three. So let's make sure, get those handles out there. You're following these three, this podcast, got to do it.
Absolutely. I've said it earlier, but I will add their podcast and their Twitter handles to the show notes of this episode. And let's look forward to next episode really quickly. So I don't think it'll be the exact next episode. I'll have to look at the calendar. But over the next week or so, on December 19th, the Ottawa Senators make their way to the Arizona to face off against the Coyotes. And Jacob Chychrun, this will be his first time playing at home against his former team, if my memory serves me correct. I don't think they've played yet since the trade has happened, at least not in Arizona. So it's definitely going to be an opportunity to see Jacob Chychrun score 6 goals against his old team. But on that note, we haven't fully ironed out exact details yet, but our goal is to hopefully have a sit down with some very, very knowledgeable Arizona Coyotes people. Like I said, not ironed out yet, but we hope to have something cooking here. So, yeah.
Cannot wait to have a discussion with some very awesome Arizona Coyotes fans and knowledgeable podcasters, rather. Fans, yes, podcasters mm-hmm. also. And to be able to have a great discussion with them, this is going to be awesome. Cannot wait to have them on. And also cannot wait to have you listen to that conversation. This is going to be a huge game for Chychrun. Obviously, it was great to have him return home to Ottawa, but let's be honest, it's going to be an emotional experience for him to return to where he was drafted, where he spent a number of his years, formative years, as he grew into the player that we all see now. It's going to be incredible to see him do that. So we're excited to bring that episode to you very soon. Cannot wait for you to experience it. Also, I cannot wait to experience it, but that's me being selfish.
No, it's going to be fun. Like I said, to watch Jacob Chychrun score 6 goals against Coyotes, because it's just going to happen. He's going to pop off.
Absolutely. If there's ever a game that he's going to pop off, this is that game. Yeah, it's like him coming home to Ottawa, right? Where he scored a goal
in his first game, I think it was, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be exactly the same. We're going to see some bombs from either the blue line, or we're going to get it from the faceoff circle like he did in Ottawa.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be amazing. But yeah, on that note, we're not going to keep you too long, Sens fans. It was a really great time recording today. And we'll leave you on this notion. Go, Sens, go.
Go, Sens, go.